Hello, and thank you so much for taking the time to check out this podcast. I'm Reverend Nick Hood III, and I've been on a spiritual journey reading one psalm a day. Today I'm on Psalm 75. I'll be recording Psalm 76 a little later on today. But I thought I would do something a little different. In addition to doing podcasts, I'm also the pastor and senior minister of the Plymouth United Church of Christ, which is in the heart of Detroit. And I'm starting a new Bible discussion series this evening on Tuesday, the 10th of July at 6 o'clock in my house, in my backyard, called Burgers and the Bible. Yes, we'll actually have hot dogs, hamburgers, and we'll have watermelon and a few other goodies to go along with it. But this series tonight is entitled Love and Intimacy. And I've been thinking about it for a long time. Unlike the other podcasts that I've read up to this point with you, I've been reading them. I don't know if you notice that, but I write them out and read them. But today we're going to freestyle. And I'm here at the church with my staff. We have Regina Yap, who is the church secretary. We have Donovan Grant, who's the all-around man who does anything we need. And we have Henrietta Carson, who's the accountant, and she also serves as my executive administrative assistant. So they're going to help me read portions of the book of Ruth, because tonight in this Bible discussion, I will use Ruth and the process that Ruth undergoes to get to know Boaz. And I think it's really instructive. One of the things I'm going to be talking to people tonight is about the mating rituals, the dating rituals that we have in life. And when I say mating rituals, I'm not talking about what actually happens once you get in the bed and, you know, men and women, husbands and wives are together. I'm not talking about that. But what I'm talking about when I talk about the mating ritual is, how does a man, how does a woman find out that there's somebody that they are attracted to? And furthermore, not only how do you find out when you are attracted to somebody, but how do you know when they are attracted to you? There's a dance. I mean, if you think back to when you were dating or have ever dated, think about the process it takes to get to the first kiss. The first kiss, you know, is often a monumental kind of act, even though it's so little and so, in the scheme of things, relatively minuscule. But that first kiss is a sign of intimacy. It's a sign that you like somebody, they like you. And so what I am doing for the next three Tuesday nights is I'm going to be talking about love and intimacy. The Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter, starting at verse 4, says, he gives one of the greatest definitions of love, because one of the things I'm going to ask the people tonight at my Bible discussion on love and intimacy is, what does love look like? And Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 13:4, he starts off by saying, love is patient, love is kind, love is, and then he tells us what is not. He says, love is not jealous, it is not irritable, resentful, or rude. But rather, love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. And then he wraps up that little passage by saying, love never ends. And so today, I want to talk about love and intimacy and give you an example straight from the Bible. This is what I'm going to be sharing with my church members and some other people tonight in my backyard, a real-life Bible example of how a man and woman meet, and then how they take it from there and decide that they can get married. Let me give you a little preview. The preview is in the first and second chapters of the book of Ruth. Ruth is from the land of Moab. She has a mother-in-law named Naomi. She has a sister-in-law named Orpah. Orpah and Ruth become widows. That means their husbands have died. Naomi, the mother-in-law's husband, has died. Naomi tells the two younger women, why don't you go back to your people, you know, and maybe you can start a new life over. But the two women, you know, hold on to old Naomi. They say, we'll never leave you. And then Naomi tells them more directly. She says, look, I'm too old to give you a son to marry. Furthermore, I don't even have a husband. And if I did have a husband, you would be old by the time a child would be born. Therefore, go back to your own people. Orpha very reluctantly says goodbye tearfully, and she goes back to her people in the land of Moab. Ruth, on the other hand, clutches hold of Naomi, and she says these very famous words. It's interesting. We hear these read often at weddings. But this actually is at a time, it's not of a wedding, but it's really where two women are trying to figure out their destiny without a man in their life. And so the younger woman, Ruth, clutches hold of Naomi, the older woman. She says, entreat me not to leave you or to return from following after you. For where you go, I will go. Where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people. Your God shall be my God. And where you die, there will I die also. It's a beautiful statement. And so the two women go back to Israel. They don't have any money. They don't have anything. And when they get back, Naomi directs Ruth to go to the harvesting fields, the wheat fields, where a relative named Boaz works. Boaz also happens to be the richest relative in their clan, in their tribe. And so Ruth goes and she works for Boaz for a whole, you know, season. And he is very kind to her. He's surprised that this young woman, who also happens to be a kinswoman of his, a distant kinswoman, but she is a kinswoman, she goes to work for him. And so he inquires and he finds out that she's actually a kinswoman. And so he protects her. He tells her, he talks to her directly, and he places her behind all of his gleaners. And he says, you know, you can glean whatever you can carry for yourself and for Naomi. And he said, I've heard about you, heard, you know, how you've come back here to be with Naomi. And so that's how the story begins. And I'd like to ask Regina Yap now to read for us a portion of what happens next. This is at the end of the harvesting season. And to me, this is a good example of the mating and dating rituals that were taking place in ancient Israel. But actually, I think they're lessons for us today. Okay, Regina, from chapter 3.
Then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said to her, my daughter, should I not seek a home for you, that it may be well with you? Now is not Boaz our kinsman, with whose maidens you were? See, he is winnowing barley tonight at the threshing floor. Wash, therefore, and anoint yourself, and put on your best clothes, and go down to the threshing floor. But do not make yourself known to the man until he has finished eating and drinking. But when he lies down, observe the place where he lies. Then go down. Then go and uncover his feet and lie down, and he will tell you what to do. And she replied, all that you say I will do. So she went down to the threshing floor and did just as her mother-in-law had told her. And when Boaz had eaten and drunk and his heart was merry, he went to lie down at the end of the heap of grain. Then she came softly and uncovered his feet and lay down. At midnight, the man was startled and turned over, and behold, a woman lay at his feet. He said, who are you? And she answered, I am Ruth, your maidenservant. Spread your skirt over your maidenservant, for you are next of kin. And he said, may you be blessed by the Lord, my daughter. You have made this last kindness greater than the first, in that you have not gone after young men, whether poor or rich. And now, my daughter, do not fear. I will do for you all that you ask. For all my fellow townsmen know that you are a woman of worth. And now it is true that I am a near kinsman, yet there is a kinsman nearer than I. Remain this night, and in the morning, if he will do the part of the next of kin for you, well, let him do it. But if he is not willing to do the part of the next kin for you, Then as the Lord lives, I will do the part of the next kin for you. Lie down until the morning.
All right. So now, bear in mind what Regina has just read. You know, she has, you know, read this portion of chapter 3 where Ruth has shown up on the threshing floor. Boaz is drunk. She is laid down at his feet. Some commentators say that she was laying perpendicular to his feet. I don't know if she was perpendicular or head to the foot, but she is at his feet. And Donovan, I want you to read for us now, starting at verse 14 through 18 of chapter 3, what happens next on the threshing floor between Ruth and Boaz.
So she laid at his feet until the morning, but arose before one could recognize another. And he said, "Let it not be known that the woman came into the threshing floor." And he said, "Bring the mantle you are wearing and hold it out." She held it out and measured it out 6 measures of barley and laid it upon her. Then went to the city, and when she came to her mother-in-law, she said, "How did you fare, my daughter?" Then she told her all that the man had done to her, saying, "These 6 measures of barley he gave to me, for he said, 'You must not go back empty-handed to your mother-in-law.'" She replied, "Wait, my daughter, until you learn how to measure turns out for the man, we will not rest, but settle this matter today."
All right. So, okay, now I want you to think about it. You know, I've been married 42 years. Regina, how many years you been married?
Going on 11 years.
And Donovan and Henrietta are single, although Henrietta, you were married once. How many years were you married?
Seven.
7 years? Donovan, you've been married how many years?
7.
Okay, all right. So you and Henrietta have something in common. So think about what we just read. Ruth is down on the threshing floor in the dark at the feet of Boaz. She covers him. He covers her. He gives her a little token, tells her to wrap herself and to sneak out. He doesn't want anybody to see her. And I don't want to put you all on the spot, but think about a time before you were married. You know, did you ever sneak around?
No
sneaking around for you, Donovan. And I told you at the beginning, I wasn't going to put you all on the spot. But I'm just, I want to give you, for those who are listening to this, the two women are grinning because they're grinning at the thought of sneaking around. Okay, Henrietta, back to reality. So our listening audience can hear. Now we're going to go to chapter 4 of Ruth, and this wraps it up. This tells us what happens, how Boaz becomes her husband.
"And Boaz went up to the gate and sat down there, and behold, the next of kin of whom Boaz had spoken came by. So Boaz said, 'Turn aside, friend, sit down here.' And he turned aside and sat down. And he took 10 men of the elders of the city and said, 'Sit down here.' So they sat down. Then he said to the next of kin, 'Naomi, who has come back from the country of Moab, is selling the parcel of land which belonged to our kinsman Elimelech. So I thought I would tell you of it and say, buy it in the presence of those sitting here and in the presence of the elders of my people. If you will redeem it, redeem it. But if you will not, tell me that I may know, for there is no one besides you to redeem it, and I come after you.' And he said, 'I will redeem it.' And Boaz said, 'The day you buy the field from the hand of Naomi, you are also buying Ruth, the Moabite, the widow of the dead, in order to restore the name of the dead to his inheritance.' Then the next of kin said, 'I cannot redeem it for myself, lest I impair my own inheritance. Take my right of redemption yourself, for I cannot redeem it.' Now, this was a custom in former times in Israel concerning redeeming and exchanging. To confirm a transaction, the one drew off his sandal and gave it to the other. And this was the manner of attesting in Israel. So when the next of kin said to Boaz, "Buy it for yourself," he drew off his sandal. Then Boaz said to the elders and all the people, "You are witnesses this day that I have bought the hand of Naomi, all that belonged to Elimelech, and all that belonged to Chilion and to Mahlon. Also Ruth the Moabite, the widow of Mahlon, I have bought to be my wife, to perpetuate the name of the dead in his inheritance, that the name of the dead may not be cut off from among his brethren and from the gate of his native place. You are witnesses this day." And all the people who were at the gate and the elders said, "We are witnesses. May the Lord make the woman who is coming into your house like Rachel and Leah, who together built up the house of Israel. May you prosper in Ephrath and be renowned in Bethlehem. And may your house be like the house of Perez, whom Tamar bore to Judah, because of the children that the Lord will give you by this young woman." So Boaz took Ruth, and she became his wife, and he went into her. And the Lord gave her conception, and she bore a son. Then the woman said to Naomi, "Blessed be the Lord who has not left you this day without next of kin, and may his name be renowned in Israel. He shall be to you a restorer of life and a nourisher of your old age. For your daughter-in-law who loves you, who is more to you than seven sons, has borne him." Then Naomi took the child and laid him in her bosom and became his nurse. And the woman of the neighborhood gave him a name, saying, "A son has been born to Naomi." They named him Obed. He was the father of Jesse, the father of David.
Now these are the descendants of Perez. Perez became the father of Hezron, Hezron of Ram, Ram of Amminadab, Amminadab of Nahshon, Nahshon of Salmon, Salmon of Boaz, Boaz of Obed, Obed of Jesse, and Jesse of David. And so here we conclude the reading of the book of Ruth. Again, thank you so much for taking the time to join me in this podcast reading of the third and fourth chapters of the book of Ruth, but also to hear a few of my thoughts and our thoughts on the whole dating and mating process of love and intimacy. If you're in the Detroit area on Tuesday, July 10th, I invite you to stop by my house, 375 Lodge Drive, and we will be talking about love and intimacy tonight. Thank you so much for taking the time to listen to this podcast. And until we meet again, God bless.